But probably for the best of everybody, I moved to getting a curriculum. I moved into the Gospel Advocate curriculum, and they repeat, I think they say every 8 years, they basically cover the Bible in an 8-year span. So you'll cover different topics and stuff and cover about the whole Bible over an 8-year period. I'm telling you that because as I went to establish another folder on my computer where I put my lessons, my PowerPoints and everything, there was already one called James and Jude, and that was 9 years ago, 2008. So I thought it was 8 years, but anyway, some of my lessons 9 years ago, we've covered similar topics or at least the same books. I looked at that lesson, and it was different. It was not what this is, so they don't just rehash material. Not that I would want to rehash. I would, even in 9 years, even if I had something already prepared, I would not want to just present it a second time. I'd want to go ahead. I've hopefully grown in 9 years. And actually today we'll look at James, the brother of Jesus, and growth that he had in a span of probably about that same amount of time. So we'll continue our Gospel Advocate series. I think it's worked out good. Hope everybody else thinks it has. If not, I guess we got other alternatives, but it's worked so far. It makes it easier on some of us. So anyways, James, brother Jesus, is today's lesson. This picture is from last summer when we went out to Jackson Hole. We went up on Rendezvous Mountain at the Jackson Hole, ski resort. Jackson Hole Mountain, whatever it's called. Rode a big, huh? Wyoming, that's where it's at. We rode the big red gondola up to the top, so 10,000 feet above sea level. We're all there. These are all the people, all the men that I have, all men that are alive that I share 25% or more DNA with, right there in that picture. My dad, my son, my sister's son. That's it. We don't have a very big family. So, like I said, it gets worse than that when you look at just the people I have DNA with and the percentage of them who have had cancer so far. But anyways, there we are on top of the world. Dad put that on Facebook this week, one of his Facebook memories, and I thought it kind of went pretty good with that. If you told me one of the people in this picture was the Son of God, I'd have a hard time believing it, okay? If you told me one of these people was very special beyond what I saw in their daily life, I'd have a hard time believing it, okay? I've spent many, many days with these people. My son, obviously, most of the time, although I've seen him very little in the last month as he prepares to go away to camp again today. My nephew, I see quite a bit. And, of course, with dad, I see him 6 days a week. We work together. So I see them. I know them. And that's something to take into heart when you look at Jesus being the, James being the brother of Jesus. He knew him very well. He knew the ins and outs of who Jesus was. So we'll continue with that. Maybe. My clicker is not clicking. It's not Bluetoothing, it looks like.
Oh, really?
Sinking. It might be. Oh, well. I guess that's also the start of my legend of having red shoes is in this picture, too. Well, those shoes are black with red laces. So I continue to wear the red tennis shoes. I met with some of my friends from high school last night, and they're like, dude, what's up with the red shoes? So, if you've never been to Wyoming, I honestly say you ought to go. Colorado's a nice place too, right? For us flatlanders, mountains are just, they're different. I don't know. Times I've been on top of a mountain, it's an amazing place to be, what you can see, and there we are. When I look through that PowerPoint on the first lesson, the growth, I don't think they called it Christian growth in James and Jude. It was just James and Jude last time. But I looked through my first PowerPoint. I saw some things that were just good reminders of some of the stuff. At the end of it, I had a slide that said, here's the deal. And it said that Camille was being Nancy's helper for the quarter. Nancy, if you don't know, teaches the preschool class, and Glenda has been her helper for 20 years. Apparently, Glenda was going to be gone for the summer, so Camille moved in there to help Nancy, and that was one of my slides. And the issue we had is we had a 4- and 6-year-old, and as kids are, they tend to get sick here and there. So on any given Sunday, what we'd always done up to that point was we didn't teach on the same Sunday. Camille didn't teach every week. I'd rolled into teaching every week, but we kind of, somebody had to take care of the kids if they're sick. So it was a caveat that if that happened, there were two contingency plans. What would be the two contingency plans if, because I was designated to go home and stay with the kids. So what would the contingency plans be for this class if I wasn't able to be there? You go to my house for the Bible study. That's exactly it. Come on down. That's right. Don't worry about the dog. Just come on down. One of them was, in fact, because I looked at it, and I taught every week, so it was at the point where Lloyd was still recovering with his eye. But it apparently was better because he said that, it said in there that if I knew ahead of time that Lloyd or Mike Wall would be teaching. So apparently he was doing better, but he wasn't back at a full-time teaching yet. And it was before Mike Wall became part of the rotation. And if you know, Mike became part of the rotation. It was me, Lloyd, and Mike. Then it was me, Chuck, and Mike. Then me, Chuck, and Weldon. Now it's me, Chuck, and Kevin. So the rotations changed. And we talk about growth. That growth is a great thing. Hopefully someday Chuck and I will rotate out of here, and there will be two new names. You know, I like the rotation. Doesn't have to be three, but someday that'll happen. Contingency two was go to the class in the back. Who do you think the teacher was in the back 9 years ago? It was not Paul Sciarro. He probably took the summer off because he had a tendency to do that. So who was the teacher in the back? No. It was Charlie and Jason Fitzgerald. So I told Brent yesterday that has escaped my memory. But anyways, just a flashback in time. The author of these two late letters in the New Testament contribute to their fascination, for both were half-brothers of Jesus, sons of Joseph and Mary. Later in life, they came to believe in Jesus and to follow him and his word. Does anybody here not believe Mary had more kids than Jesus? There are some people with backgrounds that believe that Mary was always a virgin, and she stayed a virgin. So the way they teach this is that instead of James and Jude being brothers of Jesus, they were cousins of Jesus. So if that was the case, I'd spend a little time on that. Doesn't look like anybody's got that problem. So, and I don't really think it really even affects us too much, but it probably did a little bit. The advice of James to Christians is marked by an emphasis on practical matters. Jude, on the other hand, deals with a more mystical grasp of the gospel. Both letters are designed to further growth in individuals and in the churches. And that's what we're hoping for. There's a series, that's what the lessons are going to be this quarter. We're going to basically study through James, the parts of that, and then Jude for the last 2 weeks. So a 60-second Bible lesson. James was a half-brother of Jesus, son of Joseph and Mary. He's described as a non-believer by a crowd of naysayers in Nazareth, Matthew 13. As the family told Jesus to go perform miracles somewhere else. So anyways, he starts out, we're going to look at him as a non-believer. Then later, he actually becomes a leader in the church and takes an important role in the Jerusalem Council. And in his letter to the Galatians, Paul describes James as a pillar of the church. So you can look at James as a model of Christian growth. He's going to go from a non-believer up to being somebody who's holding up the whole church. So that's quite a growth in a period that is probably 10 years, to be honest, because he's listed as a non-believer when Jesus starts his ministry, so Jesus would have been 30. So if you take that as 30 AD, and then the letter of Galatians was written early 40s, so by that time, 12, 13 years later, he is a pillar in the church. So somewhere in that time frame, he's made that much of a transition. A transition that is still possible today. Don't lose that. So anyways, Matthew 13, 53-54. I'll try to ask questions and be interactive, and I wish, well, this is probably would be a good sermon. It would be a good narrative. You could turn this into a good story. I've listened to some guys on some podcasts recently who are very good narrative tellers and would add this into a good story that would blow your mind. Anyways, we'll try to do it the way I always do it. I'll stay with what brought me here. So Matthew 13, 53 through 54, and when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" So if you're familiar with Matthew 13, there are several parables in there. If you're ever looking for a parable, Matthew 13 is the place to go. I think Luke 7 is another place. It's got a lot of parables. Matthew 13 has the parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds, the mustard seed, the parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl of great value, and the parable of the net. We're very familiar with these parables. He teaches these, and they proceed to Nazareth. So where do you think the local discussion turns? As he comes back to hometown, and we're seeing right here, as he finishes up these things, what's the local discussion as he comes to town? Yeah, exactly. Isn't this the guy we knew? Where did he get this stuff? He grew up right here. We've seen him. He didn't go to a religious school. He didn't go to the, he's not that kind of guy. Where did he get this knowledge?
It also says mighty works too.
Yes, he did mighty works too. Yeah, you're right, there he is. It is more than that. Sorry, I left that part out. But yeah, they're seeing the mighty works. Whether or not, some people are believing their miracles, some people are probably, But the locals are starting to ask, where did this come from? Going on to 55, 56, like Weldon said, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So what are they using against him? Yeah, you can't be anything special. You can't be anything special. We know your mom. We knew your dad. Joseph disappears by this time. He's not in the New Testament anymore. We knew these people. They're townies. They're right here. Your brothers are here. Your sisters are here. You're just townies. There's nothing special about these people.
They probably watched him grow up.
They watched him grow up. That kid can't even ride a donkey. He falls off every time he gets on one, you know? Yeah, and they've got 1,000 stories. It's like every kid that grew up here. Do you know how many people have John Fisher stories? John's like, oh, don't go there. But we do. If you've been here long enough, how old are you, John? 36. John's 36, and he's been here since he was a kid. So a lot of us have. If you've been here a long time, you've got some kind of John Fisher story. At least you saw him. Jim's wife, June, picked John up and brought him to church many, many times when he was a kid, him and his sisters. I did. I used to come back here and pick him up. Long before we had a Jesus van, it was just my truck. You know, but like I said, June started that. So we have stories about the Fisher kids, okay? The wild sisters that he has. The wild sisters. They're not so wild anymore, but we've got, like I said, we've seen John Fisher stories. If John came in here doing miracles, you'd almost say, is that the kid? Is that him? You know, he's been gone a little while. I went to see John the Baptist, but he's back. So we hold that, they use it against him, the fact that he's familiar. They know the family, and they know where he came from. The rest of the family's still there, and they're nothing special. We know the brothers, we know the sisters. There's nothing special about these people. They may not even believe the whole virgin birth thing, you know? Come on. Mary says this? Yeah. You know, the locals may or may not have ever bought into it. It said he's the carpenter's son. He has probably picked up the trade dad had. James probably picked up the same trade. So what do carpenters do? They work with wood. That's what we typically think of carpenters. According to Gospel Advocate Notes, carpenter was a generic term for builder. So although they probably worked with wood, they may also have been stonemasons. Does it matter? No. But that's just, I thought it was cool that they probably were just builders, you know. So anyways. Why didn't they believe we had spiritual knowledge? Was it even possible? Well, I guess I'll leave you with that. We've talked about it. Could you believe it? But was it even possible for the people of the town to recognize who he was? A lot of times from our point, we say, man, what would it have been like to be there with Jesus, to hear his parables? What would it have been like to see him do a miracle? These people were there, and there's basically no way, no how. They were too familiar with him. They couldn't step back and see it. We have stories like that in today's world. People have paintings on their wall in their house for years, and when they die, and if kids go to sell it, they didn't realize grandma had a Rembrandt hanging on her wall. You know, it's worth $100 million, but it was just hanging on the wall. The Fitzgeralds have a story about a sister-in-law that bought something at a thrift shop, right, and it ended up being worth thousands of dollars. No. Okay. Yeah, Fabergé fish. Stuff that somebody else looked at, grandma died, and they basically gave it away, and it became worth thousands of dollars. And we're just too familiar with stuff sometimes to see how much it's worth. I think even sometimes here with the church, we lose sight of the value of it because it's so familiar. We do it every week. We come here, but sometimes we forget what the value is. It's okay if I miss. It's okay if I just kind of slack. It's okay we've lost that value that it's always meant to us or what we know it should be. I listened to a real good podcast this week on sloth. And sloth it's not so much slowness, but less of a desire to just take care of things. So sometimes we can be too busy, and that's sloth. Sometimes we can just not get with it. So anyways, Matthew 13, 57 through 58, they took offense at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Does it look like James and his brothers offer any defense? Yo, Jesus, he's who he says he is. I remember as a kid, they don't offer any of that, do they? They don't come up with any defense against the town. They just kind of let it slide. So kind of the same kind of thing. I just threw some of these things in there. But if Jesus was from Titusville, okay, I want you to kind of put in your own say, if he worshipped here on the orange carpet, if you yelled at him one time for running down the hall, hey, stop running. How many, every kid here has been yelled at for running, right? All 6 years? All six, okay? And don't run on the stage. Don't get up on the stage. Yeah, that one. That one's an attraction for somebody in the microphones. But every kid here has been yelled at for that. Every kid. What if that kid went to Nancy's preschool class? Would we believe he's the son of God? He was in Nancy's class. He's just, he's a good kid, but I saw him drink Glenda's Kool-Aid at VBS. He had it all over him. He had it down his shirt. He's just one of us. What if he rode on the Jesus van? What if his mom and brothers worship with us still today? What if he, fill in the blank, would we have believed if he was one of us? Yeah, it's just a normal everyday occurrence. We do see some special things. Some of the boys lead singing sometimes. They do an amazing job. They step up and do that. We got some of the little guys doing that now. I've heard some of them speak. John Fisher is one of these guys that was an amazing speaker. I've heard John speak. When you see that, you're like, wow. It is. You see that growth, but would you believe they're son of God? You can almost give them a buy on this. So does James Anyways, Luke 4, 28 through 30. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. They rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so they could throw him off the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. So anyways, the town actually gets so fed up with Jesus. He brings the wrath to them that they drag him out of town and threaten to kill him. The brothers don't do anything to stop it. This is what you'd expect. You're right. This is what you'd expect. Oh, yeah.
We would brag about, hey, I watched him in church so many times.
Sure.
Prayer, whatever.
The sign out front would say, Food Pantry, verse 3rd Monday, 1 to 3, home of the president. You know, it would say that right on the sign. It would.
But yet, Jesus.
Yeah. You're right.
And like I said, we may have done the same thing.
We could. But you can definitely see James in that spot. Whether we want to put ourselves in that spot, and it's a tough spot to put yourself in. You can almost beat yourself up. But you can definitely see James in this spot. John 7, 1 through 5. After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of booths was at hand. So his brother said to him, leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers believed in him. It does. I'm going to go ahead and slide. I put some emphasis in there to show the sarcasm, because you can just read it and you almost see it as a suggestion. They're not believers at all. Yeah, like you said, whether it's to the point of jealousy or not, they're definitely not believers. But I added emphasis, and that's why it's in yellow. Leave here. Go to Judea so that your disciples also may see the works you're doing. For if no one... Yeah, get yourself down. Yeah, and by adding this emphasis, you can see... Like you say, it's sarcastic. Take your sideshow elsewhere. Take your weird teachings. Take your miracle things and go. They're just not believing it. This really starts after he heals the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. The Jews start seeking to kill him, and that's really where we're at in verse 1. So when he comes here, anyways, that's how it's quite a controversy. They decide to kill him. Like I said, his brothers, said to him, so when they're there with the Jews are there to kill Jesus, his brothers are amongst them. Whether it's a jealousy, whether they are part of that, I mean, they were Jews themselves, whether they're buying into the fact that, he needs to die. Or maybe it's just, there's no way, no how, they're just standing there. Jesus ain't going to show his face here. He already knows what the problems are. He's not going to show. But anyways, they're part of this. And to give this great advice, does it look like they have any faith in him whatsoever? All right, so we've established James has no faith in his own half-brother being son of God. If I haven't beaten this to death so far, I think we can see it here. Just take your... Yeah. Yeah. When everybody else believes, when you get everybody else believing, bring it back here.
Well, they're just conduits.
When I see you on the news, when I see it on Facebook and Twitter, bring it back home. But until then, show it somewhere else. So John 7:5, anyways, at some point the doubt begins to fade. I don't know, it's not even doubt at this point. It's worse than that. It's they don't believe. But it fades, and that's where we're going to go. If we move up to John 19, Jesus is on the cross. John 19, 26 through 27, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, who would that disciple he loved be? John. Yeah, he never mentions himself in the book. Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. So Jesus hangs on the cross. I want to ask you if you think it starts to sink in, if that faith starts to sink in. Do you think they felt some shame in hearing Jesus as he's dying, as they're watching their own half-brother dying, and Jesus says, take care of mom, John. He doesn't give mom. You'd think so. Yeah. And I think that they got to feel some shame in this. That, yeah, he could have, from their own perspective, Jesus didn't have to say anything. Oh, we're just going to take care of mom. It's mom. You know, dad passed away a long time ago. We'll just take care of her. But he says to another guy, take care of her. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 7. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried and was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. In case you're not familiar with it, that's the gospel. That he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Most of them are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. That doubt seems to fade. Verse 7, and this is 1 Corinthians, is not in the narrative of Acts, but Paul has this. He appeared to James by himself. If you were James, you might have had that unbelief. You might have started to see, as others did, as he willingly gave his life on that cross, when he could have, you know, there was non-believers or Gentiles that said, truly this man is the Son of God. They started to believe something. If a man you watch die shows up at your house, would you start seeing things different? And James is by himself. A little spooky there. Probably a lot easier in a big setting with other people to be around to see it and believe it. But he gets this one-on-one time with a risen Jesus. Moving on into Acts 1. So following that time, so we got Jesus dying, buried, comes back to life. How long is he alive on this earth? I make sure the kids all know this, so I want to make sure everybody else knows. How long? About 40 days. 50 days is the day of Pentecost. About 40 days. Just yeah, it opens his eyes, you're right. Because he appears to Mary and Mary Magdalene, he appears to the apostles, he appears to 500. And I always like what Paul says here. Most of them are still alive. If you don't believe me of who that has happened, go out and ask. He sat down with these people. He talked to them. He ate breakfast with these people. Yeah. There's people alive. Today, they're dead. Every one of them's dead. So all we have is the Word of God. I've talked to some of the kids about this, and sometimes they have a hard time saying, well, how do we know it's true? You know, how do you know that George Washington was alive? Just what people have, tell us. And that's only a couple hundred years ago. We only have what people tell us. Nobody alive today has seen George Washington. Nobody alive today saw the Civil War here in America. Some of those kind of things, they're very, very real. And we take them as very real. And we have eyewitness accounts, which are just not very old. As those eyewitness accounts get older, sometimes they lose value to people, but these are still eyewitness accounts that we have, and that's what adds to the validity of it, including his half-brother James. So Acts 1, verse 9, when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So this is the ascension. Jesus has been around 40 days. He's standing there with his apostles, and as they're talking, he tells them to take care of the sheep, I think is what he says. And he goes up. He goes up into heaven. A couple verses later, Acts 1, 12 through 14, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So we have this gathering after Jesus ascends. They gather in the upper room. We see the apostles. We see his mom, Jesus' mom, and his brothers have all gathered. Do you think they're believers at this point? A little bit different outlook. They're not on the outside saying, what in the world are you guys doing? There's a change. Somewhere, probably in that 40-day period, there's a change. You're starting to see a belief. It's all we got, right? Well, we got some good stories that go with it. Don't get me wrong. That's all background that goes with it. But really, the part that comes down to it is the gospel, the truth and good news about Jesus, is his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what has changed James. Acts 2, moving on from there, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. So this is the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus died on the cross, and we know on the day of Pentecost, the opening day of the church, that Peter got up and delivered the amazing sermon, Sermon of the Fishermen, which saves 3,000 people that day. As he goes on and tells the gospel, hey, we've been looking for a Messiah, and he came. This man was Jesus, whom you killed, and whom God made him Son of God. God made him the Christ. As he tells them, you killed him. In verse 37, the audience says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Was James one of the church leaders on this day? Who's delivering the big sermon? Peter. Peter seems to be the main guy. The apostles are in charge, but Peter seems to be the main guy when the church starts. You move on to Acts 4, verse 13, and now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized they had been with Jesus. Peter and John seem to be, I don't know if lead apostles is really their best word, but they seem to be the ones on the forefront of spreading the gospel. They get in trouble with the Jews. They get dragged in front of the Sanhedrin and told, stop this. Stop being so bold. You know, stop spreading this story of Jesus. They threw him in prison. They're released. The church prays for them. They're released. Acts 12, verse 1 and 3, about that time Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter too. At this point, we start seeing the Romans getting rid of the church. They kill James the Apostle, okay, the son of Zebedee. He's killed. Peter is thrown into jail. So the guys that are leaders are disappearing. And I never really thought about it at this point, but Acts is a narrative. It's a story. There's a timeline to the book of Acts, unlike the rest of the books. Acts 12, you'll see the Apostle James die. The Apostle James is not the brother of Christ. They're two different guys. And I say that because later, I've always kind of been confused about that, or here and there. Acts 12:5, and Peter was kept in prison, but the earnest prayer of the church was made to God by the church. You know, the church prayed. Acts 12:6-7, when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door was guarding the prison. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and light shone in the cell, struck Peter on the side, woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." The chains fell off his hands, probably as a result of the church's prayers. Anyways, Peter knows he's got to get out of town. And what he does is he goes to Mary's house. And in verse 17, motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he says, "Tell these things to James and his brothers." Then he departs and goes to another place. You see this transition of leadership. We had James going from a non-believer. We can see him as a believer. But at this point, Peter's exchanging that. He says, "I got to get out of town. Tell James. He'll take care of things from here. Tell James and his brothers." Acts 15, the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And then after they had much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in early church days God made a choice among you, but my mouth and Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe." Anyways, this is like the last you hear of Peter in Jerusalem. The apostles and the elders gathered together because there's a debate about whether Gentiles can become Christians without circumcision. As Paul and Barnabas have gone out and they're converting Gentiles, the Jews follow behind and say, no, you got to be a Jew to be a Christian. So they've added this burden. So when they convene the Jerusalem Council, and it's like that, it's the apostles and the elders. James, the brother of Christ, is one of those elders. Okay, he's not an apostle. He's one of those elders. All the symbol, blah, blah, blah. We'll get to the short part because I know we got short time. Verse 13, after he finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me." I've probably time to time known the truth, but a lot of times I think about the Jerusalem Council that the words come from James the Apostle. They come from James, the brother of Christ. James the Apostle has died three chapters earlier. So this is the James we've been looking at. He's grown into an elder of the church, someone whose word, as Peter's been talking, James takes over. This is what we got to do. We got to write a letter. We got to get it out into people's hands that the Judaizers aren't teaching the truth. This needs to set the people free. And it goes on, and he says, "Write this letter, carry it on." And that's all by him. One last thing. Anyways, later, letter to the Galatians, which I know is in the early 40s, Paul writes, and he talks about verse 9, "When James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me." James grows into being someone who upholds the church. He grows into being someone who, he's not just an elder, the church stands on him. So anyways, that's really the whole lesson, is you see this growth from, "That's my brother and he can't be anything," all the way up to he gives his life to holding up the church. So you see this growth, and it's in little pieces, it's in little spots, but you've seen it. And that's really what we're going to talk about. We've seen his growth, we're going to take James's words and study the growth that God has for each one of us. So next week, Kevin's going to teach facing trials, James 1, 2 through 8, 12 through 18 is where we're going to pick up the study next week. So I thank you all. Sorry I was late this morning. Said the Jesus van was a time warp on Brewer Circle. And if you've ever been in that time warp, you should understand. So anyways, that's where it was. And it's got to be as it is. So thank you all. And we will see you for worship in a few minutes.